The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
Anyways, I understand that you guys are moving through the world and you're almost up to the world of Bria. So I asked Rav Muttal if I could speak before that, because if you went into Bria, then what I would be on such a low level that you just would laugh at me. So at this point, maybe what I have to say is still relevant to all of you who've already made it to Yetzirah. The truth is that Tu Bishvat is not a biblical holiday at all. It's actually not even mentioned anywhere in the Torah. The only place, but any opportunity for us to eat fruit, we find. But the truth is that this is not a holiday in the general sense of the word. The only mention of it, the earliest mention of Tu Bishvat, is in the Gemara, in the Talmud. And the Talmud mentions nothing about all this that you're doing tonight at all. But rather, the Talmud describes Tu Bishvat in a very legalistic way, relating to the issues of tithes. I don't know if Rav Muttal mentioned that to you. Did Rav Muttal mention to you that? No. Okay. So in Jewish tradition, fruits from the land of Israel has to be tithe. You give 10% to the Kohanim, which, by the way, I'm a Kohen, so if you'd like to give me 10% of your kumquats, I will be happy to take them home with me. And you're not allowed to tithe fruit from one year to the other. So that means produce from, let's say, produce from 2007 cannot be used to tithe from produce that is now 2008. The question is, when does the new year of the trees begin? Okay? And so the Talmud tells us Tu Bishvat is considered the new year. Once we get to Tu Bishvat, it's no longer, the fruits that are after Tu Bishvat belong to a different year than the fruits before Tu Bishvat, and therefore you cannot tithe one year from the next. Okay? Sounds pretty boring, right? Kinda is. but that's what it is. It's the law. But now this whole thing here, especially sitting here with low candles and smoking fruits. The question is, what does this have to do with Judaism? And this actually is quite recent, only 500 years ago, and for Jews, that's really quite a new holiday. A very progressive act was enacted by the Kabbalists of Sfat, and they determined that Tu Bishvat was such a powerful day that we on this day could fix, or at least in a significant way contribute to fixing, the sin of Adam and Eve, all by simply eating these fruits. Okay? So let's just quickly try and understand, how in the world could we be fixing the sin of Adam and Eve by eating these fruits tonight? And so obviously the first thing we need to do is figure out, what is the sin of Adam and Eve? And of course, that's a very, very deep thing. If you were in the world of creation, I could share other things with you, but you're not there yet, and I can't wait. So I'm going to just give you some Torah from the world of Yetzirah. The truth is that one of the concepts of the sin of Adam and Eve, and this is an extremely deep thought, but just simply, that really, the first man and woman really had only two mitzvahs, only two commandments. One do and one don't. So the don't you probably know. The don't is, thou shalt not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and bad. That you all probably know, right? But I'm not sure how many of you know the do's. The do was, thou shalt eat from all the fruits of the garden. Okay? So imagine the entirety of the religious life of Adam and Eve, the totality of Torah life, was really encompassed by two commandments, a do and a don't. Do not eat from that one tree, and thou shalt eat from all the other trees. And of course, precisely the tree that we're told not to eat from seems to be the one that most interests us. All right? Of all the trees, we had to go for that tree. And so, sure enough, Adam and Eve not only eat from all the trees, but they eat from the tree that they're not allowed to eat from. And what does that actually mean? So the truth is that Judaism teaches that the greatest gift that Hashem wants to give us is a connection to infinity, a connection to eternity, a connection to God Himself. Okay? That is the greatest gift, to feel God's presence in our life. To feel connected to God is the greatest, most ecstatic pleasure one could ever hope for. Okay? But how does one get to that place of connectedness? Well, it's through doing something for somebody. Okay, how do you really feel close to somebody? It's when you're doing something for that person. The more you can serve their purposes, the more you can serve their needs, the closer you feel, the more connected you are. I can only tell you as a father, thank God, of 7 children, the more you do for your children, the more connected you feel to your children. And yet, strangely enough, they don't necessarily feel so connected to you. Right? Because they haven't done anything for you. Right? I mean, what did they do for you? Did they ever change my diapers? No. You never know when you get to 90 or 100, right? But in the meantime, no, right? So the truth is, they don't remember when they were little kids, you know, doing it all over the place. And you clean it up, and you, and what does a parent not do for the child? By virtue of just doing for the child and serving their needs and serving their purposes, you feel this incredible connection, okay? But it doesn't reciprocate. It really doesn't, because they didn't necessarily do much for you. The same thing happens with students and teachers. Teachers feel a lot closer to their students than generally students feel to their teachers, because teachers are giving and they're serving and they're counseling, right? And they're not getting any money either out of it. So it's really a one-way relationship. And students, you know, they don't do that necessarily that much for their teachers. They can, but not always do they. And, you know, and so it's a teacher very often feels very close to the student and would be very surprised to know how much the teacher felt close to the student. But the student, then I'm just, well, you know, I'm just one of your students. So too, here's the most bizarre thing. People are very annoyed by the fact, or disturbed, or maybe challenged by the fact that Judaism has all these ways of serving God. And it really sounds kind of like, does God have some serious ego issues? Right? That he had to come up with 613 ways for us to serve him. But the truth is that God, so to speak, does not need any of this service. But rather, this is the way God gives us the opportunity to feel connected to God. Okay? Because there's something I can do for God. There's something God has asked of me, and if I respond to that, that creates for me the opportunity to connect to God. Okay, so now let's go back to the Garden of Eden. There are two mitzvahs, right? One, thou shalt not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and bad. And the other one is you shall eat from all the trees of the garden. Do you understand? Your commandment, your service to God, what is God asking you to do for him? Enjoy this world. That's an unbelievable thing. That's the service. Right? This is how I want you to serve my purposes. I want you to enjoy this world, but as an act of service. If you enjoy this world as an act of service, what then do you ultimately gain by doing that? Not only do you get this world, but you also get the next world. Not only do you enjoy the etrog, right? Not only do you enjoy the pomegranate, but you experience the presence of God in this pomegranate, because you've turned the act of eating and consuming, you've turned the act of having into an act of serving and receiving God's presence in your life. Do you get it? Right? That's the whole point of Judaism. Judaism isn't anti this world. You know, if you look at Shabbos, our holiest day, it's the most incredible day because it's the most materialistic day. Right? I cannot think of any other day of the week that I eat that much. Right? Right? We wear our finest clothing. We take out our finest dishes. Right? It is the most physical day filled with physical pleasures, and yet it's considered to be the holiest day. Why? Because we are enjoying these pleasures as an act of serving God. And therefore, not only do we enjoy the physical world, but we taste godliness in this food. There's two ways of eating an apple. One is by having an apple, and one is by receiving an apple. What's the difference? When I have an apple, it's my apple. I eat it, I did it, it's mine, gone. Right? But when I see this apple as an act of serving, that God has commanded me to enjoy this world, and as an act of serving, when I see this apple as a gift, and I don't simply take it, but I receive it as a gift, then that gift has within it the presence of God. So that's really the question. The question is this world a bridge to God or a barrier? Okay? If you take pleasure in this world for the sake of your desire to take pleasure in this world, then it really becomes a barrier to God. If you take pleasure in this world, but as an act of serving God's purpose, and what does God want to do? What's His purpose? God wants to give you this world. And if you receive this world as a gift from God, serving and participating, contributing to His purpose, then not only do you get this world, not only do you end up with the apple, you end up with a real deep connection to godliness. Okay? So that's what Adam and Eve did. As soon as you eat from the tree that you're not supposed to eat from, then that means that your orientation to pleasure is a selfish one. That means that you're interested in the fruit for its own sake, for its own pleasure, rather than interested in the fruit as a conduit to a connection to God. Do you got that? Okay. So now, that's what happened. That's why it says that God says, now the earth is cursed on your behalf. What does it mean the earth was cursed? Did the earth do something wrong? Why is the earth being cursed? You bring curse to the earth. How? Because either the earth and its physical pleasures could be a bridge to God, or it could be a barrier to God. If you celebrate the pleasures of this world for your own selfish reasons, cutting God out of the picture, then it becomes a barrier to God, and now it's cursed. If you take this world, and you see it as a conduit to God, and you receive the pleasures of this world as a gift from God, serving God's purpose, which is what's God's purpose? His purpose is to give you the best. And you're providing Him that opportunity to give you the best. Unbelievable, right? Okay. So now, how on this day are we actually fixing this mistake? And why on this day are we able to, in such a deep way, profoundly impact the world? So there's a basic principle in Judaism that more than the mother, more than the baby wants to suck, the mother wants to nurse. Okay? We are taught that basically the milk of the mother is actually generated by the craving and the hunger, actually, the thirst of the child. So if a child, if a baby doesn't want to suck from its, her mother, then the mother cannot generate milk, and that's a great, great pain to the mother. Because the mother wants to give to the child, but the mother can only give to the child if the child wants what the mother wants to give her. You got it? So then, what happens on this day? On this day, we want to show God, and more important, we want to show ourselves, that we want to enjoy this world, but not as a barrier to God, but as a conduit to God. And how do we do that? With every blessing we make. When we make a blessing on our food, what are we essentially saying? Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you, God. You, God, are the source of blessing. I thought this was an orange. And then I took another look and said, you know, this is not an orange. This is a gift. See, oranges come from trees. Okay, I can get that. But where do gifts come from? And when you look at the incredible beauty of this orange, and you smell that incredible fragrance, and you feel that incredible, beautiful texture, and you squirt it on the person next to you, and you see the incredible potential that this orange has in your life, you realize that this is much more than an orange. Right? This is a manifestation of God's love in my life. So there's two ways of eating an orange. One is through consuming it, having it, and tasting its taste and enjoying the pleasure, but then it's a cursed orange. Or another is when you make a bracha and you say, this orange is a gift from God. And what does God want from me? Why did God create the world? To give me the greatest pleasure, which is the connection to Him. And the more I recognize that, and the more I do this act of eating, not simply as a selfish act of taking pleasure, but as an act of serving God and receiving pleasure, then it's a whole different thing. So here's one last idea, which to me is one of the most frightening ideas that I've heard in Judaism. God, so to speak, cannot force you to want the best. can't force you to want the best. Judaism teaches that God wants to give us that connection to godliness, and God wants to give us that sense of His presence in our life. But what if people don't want that? What if people would rather a Porsche? Or what if people would rather a mansion? Or what, maybe people would rather, you know, some tickets to some, you know, some perverted rock star. Well, maybe that's what they want. Right? So what is God supposed to do? So that's why it says in the story of the flood that God was sad. How do you understand a God that's sad? What, so to speak, metaphorically would make God sad? Same thing that would make a mother that's nursing sad. That the baby doesn't want what the mother has to offer. And so, what generates blessing in our life? The more we know what's really worth wanting, and the more we really, really want it, the more it comes into our lives. And the more we are confused, and the more we are disconnected from what's really important and what would really give us pleasure, then the less we're going to have the gift of God's presence in our life. So God wants to give us this incredible presence, but we have to recognize that that's the greatest gift. We have to really, really want it. And we have to understand that the way we can get that incredible pleasure is through the act of eating through service. And so what is happening actually on this day, Tu Bishvat? So we are told from the Talmud that on this day the sap of the trees begin to rise up into the trees. It is the beginning of the fertility of the trees. So today's the perfect day for us to generate blessing into our fruits, generate blessings into next year's produce by taking pleasure in the fruit in the way that pleasure is meant to be enjoyed. By enjoying this material wealth, but not as a selfish act of having and consuming, but as a selfless act of serving and connecting. And then the fruits taste so differently, and then you generate so much more blessing, because then you have demonstrated to God that what God wants to give us is exactly what we've been waiting and yearning and working to receive. So every time you take a bite of any of these fruits, anytime you make a bracha, a blessing on this fruit, and you have the consciousness, you have the awareness, right, of what an incredible gift. If you could just taste these fruits as if you've never tasted them before, right, it's just so absolutely different. It's like, you know, it's like they say, you know, mom's pea soup, frozen pea soup, right? You go into the supermarket, you know, mom's some big guy with a cigar in his mouth, and he came up with a company called Mom's. But you know, it just doesn't taste like Mom's, right? Right? Because there's a big difference in home-cooked food and, you know, processed food. The difference is that you know that your mother wants you to have this. And therefore, her love is in that food. So every time we make a bracha on food, then we can taste the love in that food, and we can feel God's presence in our life, and that nourishes not just our body, but that nourishes our soul. So I want to wish you a happy Tu Bishvat. We should celebrate, we should enjoy this world in the deepest and the most expansive way that this world can be enjoyed.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990 or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.